Today is May 2nd, 2019, and this is episode number 511 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I am Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief of TMO. And as we get closer and closer and closer to It's called the WWDC, I'm told. What I'm thinking is that right after that, probably going to go to Philadelphia. That's what I'm thinking. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook group. I am delighted that today, of all days, I am joined for the very first time by Ken Ray. He is the honestly amazing host of macOS Ken, as well as, get this, The Checklist, brought to you by Secure Mac. I have long been a super fan of Ken. He is smart, he is eloquent, he is low-key, and he is smoother than butter on a silk sheet. Ken, thanks for joining me.
I can't live up to that.
You will.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Every day.
I'm after that, I'm going to Philadelphia. Is that a WC Fields riff?
Or is that something else? No, it's a message with an audience of one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I love those.
Yeah.
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 I used to, mine on macOS Ken have always been so subtle that even the one usually doesn't get it.
Well, that's smoother than butter on a silk sheet that's been cleaned.
I guess that must be it.
Now the butter's gone.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about Apple's earnings report was, okay, I know I said this was May 2nd, but we're actually recording this on the night of May 1st. At this point, by the way, it takes me sometimes so long to get my shows up that the dates are meaningless anyway. So, my listeners, I guess, know that. But we're going to talk about some earnings report stuff. We're going to talk about some Apple stuff. And then we're going to talk about some AT&T stuff. And then who knows where else we'll go. Oh, wait. I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you going to be in WWDC?
I would be surprised, but I've been surprised before.
Oh, dude, I want you to surprise me, man.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I would love to go to WWDC, but I'm not actually going to be there, right? I might be able to weasel into the keynote, although I haven't been able to do that in years. So I don't even know if that would work out. And then, it'd sort of be like hanging out at the periphery. It was easier when they were in San Francisco because at the time, back, 2005, 2006, I actually lived in a not so great part of San Francisco, but you could afford it. And it was close enough that I would hear like developers talking, just like walking down the street or like sitting at the Pine Street Diner or something like that. I would hear developers talking. And so I could sort of keep up that way. And it was kind of neat. It was like being kind of guerrilla, right? And now it's like, well, I'd have to go and I'd have to like find some place to stay, which is going to be super cheap that week, to be near there, I think.
Okay. I've got a couch.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'm like a mile and a quarter away from the show.
Okay. So you're going.
Yes. I will be there. I will be there. And I got to tell you, man, especially with the demise of Macworld.
Yeah.
Macworld Expo. Every night has become like there's stuff going on.
Sure. That makes sense. It's mostly Barry Folk driving people to the Chieftain. I'm pretty sure, which is like an hour and a half, 2 hours. But that's fine.
That's probably not all that far off. All right. Nonetheless, I hope you come because I'd love to spend some time with you.
Well, okay, but thanks. I appreciate that. Whatever. Stranger things have happened, I suppose.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Keep me posted. Keep me posted. Yeah. Now, speaking of posting, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've never inflicted my segues on you. Speaking of posting, Apple posted earnings for the March mm-hmm. quarter on Tuesday. Tuesday, April, what was that?
30th. Yeah, right. Tuesday, April 30th, yes.
Right. And they did the thing with the thing, and then they announced some stuff, and I thought we could talk about it.
Okay.
So, first of all, anything stand out for you?
What's really been interesting, honestly, not so much during the call, but hearing everybody after the call or reading everybody after the call saying that analysts are starting to pay attention to what Apple has been broadcasting for years. I think that was actually one of the things that I read, that Apple, you know, wants people to start taking services more seriously. I don't understand the number of analysts who were still saying, well, here's how many iPhones Apple's going to have sold. It's like, well, you're not going to know. Like, there was a story that came out just today, I think it was, that IDC says that Apple is now third after Samsung and Huawei, I believe it is, in terms of smartphones sold. It's like, that's nice, but that in 50 cents gets you nothing. Because IDC would post how many Macs Apple was going to sell, then Apple would say how many Macs it actually sold, and then you'd go back and check the numbers, and they didn't even come close. And then IDC would still say things like, we suspect they sold this many last quarter. And it's like, they told you how many they sold last quarter. So, well, okay, I don't know.
Hold on,
whatever.
Though. Hold on, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to realize that the IDC reports are not aimed at you or me or even
the truth.
Joe Blow. They're not aimed at consumers. They're aimed at other companies who are wanting to get an idea of what their competition is doing. And Apple is the aberration within that, because Apple didn't cooperate because Apple didn't care about how much their competition was doing, and they wanted to be able to control the message in the first place. So, IDC would often make up numbers. And I think it was I always forget his name when I'm not reading it.
From Apple Insider.
From Apple Insider. Yeah. I owe him getting his name right. And yet I'm going to not get his name right.
Daniel.
Yes.
Dilger.
Dilger. Yes.
Yes.
He's got a middle name.
I met him last year.
Daniel Dilger. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. I met him last year. I was at a thing at Chateau Marmont that he put together with, Horace Didier. That was an amazing day, dude. If you get a chance, and it's like a lot of money, but I called and said, can I get a press thing? And I was amazed that they were like, yeah, why don't you? Because I actually called, because he's friends with Ben Beharin, who I also know. So I called Ben and I was like, hey, can you hook me up? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, we'll try. And then I called them and I was like, hey, can you hook me up? And they're like, I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden I ended up with four tickets to this thing. Nice. Which is kind of amazing. Because first of all, you're in the room with Horace Didier, who's an amazingly acute, a follower and sort of the thing he was talking about last year, I didn't agree with, but it was kind of also great because it's a whole bunch of people in the room. There was actually a guy there, I believe, from Huawei, somebody said, and he was just like, you know, trying to glean a bit of information. So that was really interesting. And it was really neat to say, hey, what about this thing? Because he wasn't like, you're stupid and people paid to see me get out. He was like, okay, that's interesting. But so we didn't agree on that thing, but who cares? The other thing though, was they actually had the bungalow, where John Belushi spent his last week. That was where they held it. I mean, it was like, it was so much that was insane about that day, but, it was kind of fun. Anyway,
sounds like a blast. He did a takedown. Daniel did a takedown of IDC's reporting.
Okay.
Where he explained what they do. And what they do in part is come up with what they want to come up with and then make everything match, according to Daniel. And there's probably at least some truth to that, if not a lot of truth to that. Nonetheless, those reports aren't aimed at the Apple press, and they're not aimed at... we're not paying for those reports. Who is paying for those reports are competitors.
Yeah. Shouldn't it still be accurate? Because here's the thing. If you can, so I'm paying money for this report and it lands on my desk and then I, quickly check, the report that Apple issues and I see that those two numbers don't match. Am I just paying somebody to tell me a story?
You're not paying for Apple's numbers. You're paying for everybody else's numbers.
Okay, but if they're inaccurate on Apple's numbers, then what's the chance they're accurate on anyone else's?
Because Apple is the aberration within the industry.
Because they actually told what their numbers were at the time?
Well, because they didn't cooperate with anything that IDC or the who's the other company?
Gardner.
Gardner, right. Who's the other? Juniper, too, right? Didn't Juniper used to do this?
Yes.
I always want to call him Jupiter, but the Apple wasn't cooperating with any of those companies, and the other companies were to a greater or lesser extent. And I kind of like, when I see those reports, my biggest reaction is, who cares?
Right.
It didn't used to be. I used to actually be really interested in it. Like, oh my God, back when Apple was beleaguered.
See, here's the thing. I'm interested. I used to be interested in numbers. I haven't really been paying much attention to what IDC or Gartner have said anymore. And I think it's because of Apple's sort of de-emphasizing unit sales for the whole services thing. Sentiment around, and that's mostly why I follow a lot of the things that I follow, is sentiment, right? Because the actual numbers aren't necessarily going to hold up. Then there are some numbers that we're never going to be able to check anymore anyway, because Apple's not going to release them anymore. But if you've got everybody saying, well, it's going to be terrible, then that's going to end up affecting Apple's share price. Or if you have everybody saying it's going to be wonderful, then it's going to affect it as well.
Yeah, well.
Sentiment is actually what I've gotten more interested in lately than the actual numbers, because the actual numbers, as I told a friend of mine a year ago, we'll be standing before the pearly gates before we actually know how many phones Apple sold in a given time. It was about watches, actually, at the time, because they've never given numbers on Apple Watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're thinking I'm not smart anymore. You're sorry you had me. You're like,
I absolutely get where none of that is true. I absolutely get where you're coming from. I tend to be like sort of on guard against, like there's a whole lot that Apple fans don't understand about Wall Street and don't understand about analysts and don't understand about how the stock market works.
Yes.
And
I'm one of those people, by the way.
Excellent.
I mean, I only know as much as I've known for a certain amount of time. And I started macOS Ken having, I was actually still producing a financial news show in the Bay Area at the time, which made me, you know, like leagues ahead of anybody else in the newsroom, but you know, so's a squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, so I came with a certain amount of knowledge and interest, but I'm not you. You and I have a mutual friend who occasionally calls me and says, you said this thing the other day that was like, I need to take you to task. And it's great because it's always wonderful to catch up with her. Mm. But, you know, it usually starts with 10 minutes of why I'm wrong.
Oh, I know who that is.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I really do, because I'm sure she's listening right now to your show, because I know she does. And
she listens to you, too. She loves you.
Yeah, I know. I know. And she loves you,
and she should love you.
Oh, and she should love you, too.
This is
a giant love fest, and she's not even here. Yeah. But anyway. So I'm like, I understand what I think I understand. I know there's a lot of stuff I don't know. And you were saying there's a lot that Apple fans don't understand about Wall Street and the markets.
Yes, there's a lot. And like today was the rare sort of flip side to that lack of understanding. Tuesday was the rare flip side, because, you know, Apple will post a great quarter and then the stock will tank and everybody cries foul. But part of it is because a lot of folks seem to think that there is some objective truth in any company's valuation / stock price, that there is an absolute, that it's based on some sort of absolute reality. And when something doesn't meet their expectations, that reality is being cheated. But that's not how Wall Street works. Wall Street works where value is determined partly on sentiment, as you were just talking about, partly mostly on outlook. And a very tiny bit about what was just done.
Right.
Right. And
that's what I used to refer to as, but Wall Street doesn't care what happens tomorrow. They care about what will you have done for me 5 minutes from now.
Yes. Well, it's like they don't care about yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
What
are you going to do for me?
And that was another thing that was interesting about the notes that came out after the report. A lot of people, you know, commenting on I don't want to say sentiment again, because that's not the right word, but basically they were happy with the pitch and tenor with which Cook and Maestri spoke. I mean, they like the confidence with which they talked about the future.
You know, I could see that's something let me finish what I was going to say.
Because
there's an aspect of that I'd love to talk to you about, get your opinion on. Okay. So Apple turned in a quarter that was down 5% year over year and 10% on earnings year over year. Now, in a vacuum, that's bad.
Right.
Right. In a vacuum, that's like, you know, what the crap is going on. But the and the stock went up. Did it close up? I haven't actually looked. I know that the market's so turned down.
Yeah, this is a weird thing that I'm actually talking about on Thursday's edition of macOS 10. They reported their numbers, and then extended trading, they went up like $10.
Yep.
And then during the day, they actually went up another $3, but then they ended up back down 50 cents lower than the extended trading. But still, if you look at the chart, it looks like they went up $9.50 on Wednesday, because extended hours isn't the same thing as, correct, you know, what stock's going to open at the next day.
Correct. And usually extended hours is exaggerated.
Okay.
Extended hour reaction to Apple is usually exaggerated. So it's just, yes, if it goes up a lot, it'll go up less. And if it goes down a lot, it'll go down less, usually. Today, that was not the case for much of the day, when Apple stock was up as much as, what, $12, $13, $14. Closed $9.85 higher. But the entire market did a downturn at the end of the day. So that really, yeah, wasn't Apple specific.
Okay. So I actually hadn't checked that. I was just looking at Apple's thing in particular. Okay.
And plus, there was probably some profit taking for Apple, too. Because it definitely has done well in the last few weeks. So this is that example. Apple turns in what is, in a vacuum, a bad quarter, and the stock goes up. And the reason why the stock goes up is because bad news had already been baked into the price. Less good guidance had already been baked into the price. Mm-hmm. And Apple beat Wall Street expectations, came in at the high end of its guidance, and then guided higher than expectations. And that's why the stock went up. And that's how come the stock can go up, even though they turned in what is, again, in a vacuum, of not great results.
Right.
And that's the flip side of how Apple can turn in a great quarter, but then the stock goes down. Because either that great quarter wasn't within Wall Street expectations, or the guidance wasn't within Wall Street expectations, or there was some other aspect that worries Wall Street. And those things might be imperfect, but they're not. They're not coming in a vacuum, and they're not. It's not some big conspiracy to keep Apple down, because that's crazy.
No, it's not a big conspiracy to keep Apple down. Don't you sometimes feel, though, that it is taking an interminable period of time for analysts to see that there is something different about Apple?
No. So here's the thing, Ken. Wall Street has never understood Apple, and
right.
And post iPhone. Right. When Apple stock finally started exploding, and that word beleaguered became an LOL kind of look at the past.
Right.
Right. Wall Street analysts started being right about Apple for all the wrong reasons. But they were right about Apple, but they were right for most of them were right for the wrong reasons.
And those being
About the time, for instance, that the iPad was introduced, and longtime listeners have heard me mention this several times. I love to pat myself on the back for this. I said that Tim Cook just told us that Apple would compete with netbooks with an iPod Super Touch. And this is when I coined the term Cook Code. Because, you know, Steve would basically tell us what Apple wasn't going to do and then do the opposite. Right. Or, you know, like tell like it. And it, so like Steve's thing was like, listen to what Steve says and then figure out whatever the opposite of that is. Tim Cook instead actually just tells us what he's going to do. But it's very oblique and not specific. It's oblique and opaque both. And the thing about netbooks is that Apple constantly, Tim Cook did it. Steve Jobs did it. I think Phil Schiller did it. They constantly badmouthed netbooks without ever denigrating the need for netbooks, the need that netbooks were trying to meet. And that was with a highly portable, small, light device. Right? They never denigrated that need. They always denigrated the products. They were, you know, weren't pleasing. Customers aren't happy with them, things like that, right? And right. And then, sure enough, Apple ends up introducing the iPad, and the iPad was competing with netbooks and LOL netbooks today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my point there is that before Apple announced the iPad, someone – I always want to blame Katie Huberty for this, but I can't find it. can't actually find where she said it, so I may be misattributing this to her. Someone downgraded Apple for not having articulated a netbook strategy that wouldn't also cannibalize MacBook sales. This is the most asinine logic I have seen come out of Wall Street when it comes to Apple. Right? Starting from there, though, people started talking about like the iPhone train, but they were constantly focused on unit sales. They didn't value the ecosystem properly. They didn't understand the ecosystem properly. There was still occasional talk of licensing, iPhone OS or sure. iOS or whatever it was called at that moment. We at least haven't heard anything about licensing Mac OS in a long time.
That's a great idea. Sorry. Right?
At least we haven't heard that. And the point though is that they were all giving Apple buy recommendations, but they weren't necessarily doing it for the right reasons. They weren't necessarily recognizing the value of the whole widget. They weren't recognizing and that Apple has like all the profits in the smartphone market. They weren't recognizing that market share doesn't mean anything for the smartphone market. It probably does mean something still for the computer market, but it doesn't mean anything for the smartphone market.
See, there's where I'll pat myself on the back.
Please.
When I was working at that television station with the guy, the financial analyst guy, Rob Black is his name, and he still has he still actually appears on Cron 4 in San Francisco, and he also has a radio show. And you can find this podcast, and he's funny to listen to, but whatever. When it was rumored, I think, Google had not announced Android yet. When it was rumored that Google was going to get into it, he's like, well, that's it for Apple. Like, what do you mean that's it for Apple? I said, that's it for the iPhone. It's not going to be in the iPhone after that. I was like, why not? And maybe they had actually announced it because it was known that everybody was going to be able to use their operating system, right? And I was like, okay, the money is still going to go to Apple. Money is still going to go to iPhone. He's like, how do you figure? There are going to be so many more phones. I was like, yeah, but they're all going to be fighting. They're all going to be fighting. Like, Apple is going to have all of its might behind iPhone. And like all of its marketing and all of it is going to go to iPhone. And all that money is going to come back to Apple, come back to the iPhone. That's going to win. It's not going to be the biggest number, but that's going to win money-wise. And of course, it wasn't exactly 100% right. But I mean, there are things I don't understand. There was a thing. I'm just going to keep patting myself on the back. Do you mind?
Oh, man. There was a thing
that I wrote for, golly, Maximum News, I think, back in 2006, because I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but somebody had been talking about converged devices, and it became this debate within the Apple ecosystem, the people like you and me, the people who write about it and talk about it and whatever. And I was like, there's going to be a convergent device at some point. And my hope is that it's going to be Apple that makes that convergent device. It's going to play music. It's going to be better than the rocker, obviously, or whatever that thing was from Motorola. It's going to be so much more to it. And there were like tons of people who wrote back to me saying that I was high, that they would not be able to be able to do that and all that stuff. And it's fine. But I mean, it was Apple that killed the iPod with the iPod Mini, and then killed the iPod Mini with the iPod Nano, and then killed the iPod entirely with the iPhone. I mean, they swing from one thing to another in a way, which then comes to like the whole services thing. And these are the things that it's interesting to read articles now that say analysts are finally, listening to the story that Apple has been telling for a while, which is we're making that move over to services. Not making a move to services because they'll still sell the hardware to do it, but they're fine with you listening to Apple Music on your Galaxy S10 or whatever they're called.
They're fine with that. I guarantee you the hardware's not going away, Ken.
No. I don't think the hardware is going away, but they're de-emphasizing it. Listen to it. Tim Cook yesterday started with services. He started with services. Oh, do I have yesterday's script handy? If memory serves, he started with services. He then went to China. He then went to iPad. He then went to iPhone.
Okay, but how much of that is emphasis? That's the story. How much of that is misdirection? How much of that is this is the best story we can tell? Because I guarantee you, if they had doubled iPhone sales, he would have led with doubling iPhone sales.
Sure. But it's not ridiculous. If you've been paying attention to the story they're telling, it's not ridiculous for him to start with services because that's the story they're telling. I joked years ago, I was kidding. I didn't think it would ever actually happen, but I joked years ago, I think on macOS Ken Live, I said the funniest Apple event is going to be the one where they come out on stage and they have nothing to show you. I'm not saying they didn't have anything to show at that last event, but all the articles are like, there was no hardware.
Well, within the context of when you said that, this was the fulfillment of your prophecy.
Well, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, that could be it. Yes.
Right. I mean, there was nothing to show in terms of
crone and make sure that the prophecy has been fulfilled and that I may finally rest. Sorry. I don't know what that was. Yeah, no, I don't know what that idea was. I think it was mostly just a funny thing, but it is kind of interesting that we finally, because I really thought that there would be something. Of course, they hadn't canceled AirPower yet, I don't believe, but I really thought there was going to be a thing that they brought out on stage. There would be one thing.
No, but
that they would at least throw a bone. And
no.
So, I understand that. But then if you say, well, but you know, that thing that they did on the earnings call is just the story they want to tell. Yes, it's the story they want to tell. And here's the thing. 3 years ago, if they had come out and said, hey, services are great, people would have been like, what are you talking about? iPhone is your story. And Apple has been saying for a very long time now, dude, I was listening to the November earnings call. Well, of course, it was not the November earnings call. It was the first week of November. It was the September earnings call, right? The one where they said, okay, so enjoy these iPhone numbers because you don't get them anymore.
Yeah.
And there was somebody else in the room with me and I was like apoplectic. They honestly thought that I had heard that somebody had gotten shot and somebody had died, that something terrible had happened. And I was like, the next 6 months of what I do is going to be people freaking out about the fact that they don't get to hear these numbers anymore. And of course, I mean, that ended up being, you know, the case too. God, it sounds like I'm just like, I'm whatever.
It's
the story they want to tell. It's the story they want to tell. And so it was not weird.
Okay.
Here's my problem, Ken. Okay. Yes.
Here's my problem.
Okay.
There would be more of a hardware story to tell if they would freaking release products.
I guess.
Right? Macs in particular.
What products are you talking about?
I want new Macs every year. I am tired of 5-year-old Macs being sold for 1 day old prices. I'm tired of that.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but right? How many new Macs do you need?
When I want to go buy a new Mac, I want to buy a new Mac. I don't want to buy a 5-year-old Mac. I don't want to buy a 3-year-old Mac. I don't want to buy a 2-year-old Mac. I want to buy a new Mac today. It is not about how often I am going to update. It's about when I go to update that I get to have something that's freaking new. That's what I want. And I think that as a customer of Apple's, that is a reasonable expectation. And I don't think that Apple should sit on its butt and sell technology that is not up to date.
Okay,
if they were doing that, listen, Apple used to iterate all of its products when they had a tiny fraction of revenues and a tinier fraction of profits. And now they have all of the money, that they have infinity money for all intents and purposes. They literally have all of the money in the world. Right.
Yeah.
They have so much money, they have to give it back to shareholders by the truckload.
Right.
Right. If Apple was could release new products on a timely basis, then they should be able to do so now. And if they were doing so now and making services the icing on the cake, I'd be pretty stoked. I am actually pretty stoked about most of the services also, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not denigrating the services. What I am pissy about is this lack of it seemingly from the outside, this lack of effort to get new Macs out the door and sometimes new iPads out the door, right? The iPads have also languished a couple of different times. You know, new iPhones are coming out every year. That's great. And I realize that there's a lot of money there. But I want new Macs every year. If you're going to sell a Mac, update it once a year. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
It is kind of weird to me that you can't get right the latest processor every time, I guess. But
and GPU. Here's the thing. Look at what's in, the iMac Pro. The iMac Pro that you can't update.
Yeah.
Right? Which is baffling. How is that Pro? And secondly, that device was introduced 2 years ago in June. So, you know, 23 months ago it was introduced. Yeah. It shipped 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? It's supposedly Pro. Price hasn't dropped. The hardware specs are still the same. And there is new hardware that they could put in there. There are faster Pro graphic cards that they could put in there. They could put in new processors, and they don't. And it's embarrassing.
I hear what you're saying, and I think you and I are in different places on that.
Well,
because I buy a new Mac when I need a new Mac, and I mean I'll pay a little bit of attention. Like, you know, obviously doing what I do, I'm going to know that there's something, you know, rumored on the horizon or something like that, or I'll know it's been 2 years. It might be kind of silly to buy this today. Maybe I should wait a month or two.
Yeah, maybe you should wait a year or two.
Well, that's kind of the problem. I do wish that there was more of a, but here's the thing, and you know this, and so I'm going to say it, and it's going to make you angry, but you know it. The Mac's not as important to Apple as it used to be.
Doesn't matter, man. They have the money. They have the money. Don't give it. There's no excuse.
Well, they've got the money to sell Apple. They got the money to sell iPhones for $200 a pop, though. They got the money to do anything they want to, and none of it is what they want to do.
That's not the same thing. They start selling iPhones for $200 a pop. They're getting low margin customers. There's no profit in it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the thing. I'm not arguing that Apple needs to go for market share. What I am arguing is that it is incredibly disrespectful to us as customers to sell 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old technology for today's prices. That is incredibly disrespectful to me as a computer user.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you disagree with that sentiment still? I understand I'm guessing that you're coming from the standpoint of, Brian, you just don't get it. Those things don't matter.
I'm not saying that you don't get it and those things don't matter. What I will say is the things that are the most important thing to me in the world are the most important things to me in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you ask the guy next to me, they're not the same things for him.
Well, of course.
And of course. I would say, I mean, Apple can't be all things to all people.
Oh, no, but it can be all things to all of the things that it has. Well, I mean, go ahead and spend a couple of $1 million extra a year. Hire some more engineers.
Yeah, right.
Update the hardware.
What you're saying. I mean, here's the thing, though. They're the richest company on the planet. I mean, from a business standpoint, it's hard to argue that they're doing. Look, you and I were talking before the show started about a friend of mine who got seriously boned by Apple, and he got, and that was personal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did not come after him personally, but seriously, they called him personally and said, "Hey, listen, it'd probably be great if you didn't do this thing anymore, and we can get ugly about it, but we'd rather not get ugly about it."
Because we've done that in the past.
Right. We're going to be cool about it. And my friend was like, "Oh, that's really great. They're being cool about it." And so my friend backed off what he was doing. And then they seriously torpedoed his way of life. I mean, you know, so I mean,
they warned him first. I mean, honestly, that's the story, is that they warned him first.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. That is pretty neat. But still, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I mean, it's a different thing for you and me. I guess that's what I'll say. We're coming from different places on it, because I have an iPhone 8 Plus. I have an iPhone 8 Plus that I'm walking around with. I don't buy a new one every year. I'm probably going to get the next new one when it comes out. But hold on.
I hate that argument.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
Because if you were going to go buy your iPhone today, yes, and you could still only get the iPhone 8 Plus, Would that make you happy? Would you go, "Oh, well, I need a new iPhone"?
Well,
that's great. I'm gonna go spend the exact same amount of money on the iPhone 8 Plus and get a new iPhone 8 Plus to replace my broken iPhone 8 Plus. It's 2 years old. Okay.
Well, no, it's an iPhone 8 Plus to an iPhone 8 Plus. See, that's not really what you're talking about, though. I mean, if you have a computer that breaks, hopefully you have AppleCare, you have some way that it's actually going to be taken care of. You're talking about replacing something. I'm assuming that if I go to buy an iPhone tomorrow, I live in a world where there has never been one new iPhone a year. And so when it's time for me to get a new iPhone, I'm going to get a new iPhone. Because I want the best phone out there for me.
All right, well,
that's always going to be what a Mac is. And I know there was a time where I bought a Mac where I want to say it was a year old. Actually, that's not fair because I bought it as a refurb. But I bought it as a refurb because I was able to save money and it was still a great computer that still lasted me 3 or 4 years. I mean, the Mac that you get into is, I mean, unless there's a problem with the keyboard, and I know we both know people who have had serious problems with the keyboard. I don't know if you have or not. Every time I use the keyboard on my 2018 MacBook Pro, which I have in front of me now, I'm always worried, like, is today the day? Mm-hmm. Is today the day where that keyboard is not going to work? And if that happens, I'm going to be really upset. But I do believe that when I bought this machine for the things that I do, for the needs that I had, this was the best machine for me. And if I ended up needing one this June, I would then look at a Mac and say, okay, well, which one of these is the best for me? And would it bum me out about, you know, the fact that there's a newer processor? Probably not, because when it comes to this kind of thing, I'm like average consumer. The average consumer has no idea when the last Intel processor came out. They have no idea when
Doesn't
the next
matter,
Intel
man.
Processor...
Doesn't matter.
Hold on. If Apple is going to be a consumer electronics company, which they are, they dropped computer off their name close to a decade ago now. If they're going to be a consumer electronics company, what they need to worry about is consumer perception. And consumer perception is that this is the best computer that you can get.
Okay.
It's not the cheapest computer
you can get, but
it's the best.
You are ignoring the importance of creative professionals.
Oh, no, I'm not ignoring the importance of creative professionals.
You're ignoring
the size of that market. No, I'm
no,
not.
No, you're ignoring the influence of creative professionals. You're ignoring the fact that creative professionals are what kept Macs hip and cool when Apple was actually beleaguered and helped them become
cool.
Unbeleaguered.
Then what kept them cool was things with an eye in front of them and Lee Clow. I mean, what kept them cool was the fact that consumers turned on to them. That's what I mean. Look, that's
okay,
why they're
if
a consumer
you start
electronics
having,
company at this point.
If you start having influencers, and I don't actually necessarily mean that in a social media kind of way. I'm actually talking about, like, you know, shows about, you know, documentary of interviews with an artist, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in a recording studio, mm-hmm. right? There's, like, usually a Mac behind them or in front of them or
yes.
whatever, right? If
yes.
you get to it shows about documentaries, behind the scenes stuff about, you know, making a movie and special effects and you know, post-production stuff, right? For long to TV shows, right?
All the
free marketing Apple gets and got mm-hmm. by having Macs in all the shows, you know, making mm-hmm. Microsoft actually have to pay people to use their crap to get it on a TV show, right?
Right.
If that stop. Most of that happened because the people making the shows were using Macs. And if that right. stops, Apple doesn't get that free influencer exposure. And that, to me, is important. And that's why I think that Apple should not dismiss that market. And that's why I think that, especially for the pro stuff, that Apple should iterate its products every year on a timely basis.
I do hear what you're saying. I honestly don't necessarily disagree. There's no reason they can't do that. But listen, they've boned so many people in the past. When they introduced the Hockey Puck Apple TV, they had that gigantic Apple TV out, right? That was about the size of a Mac Mini, maybe a little bit bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no reason that they couldn't update that. Because wasn't that like a $700 machine? I mean, that was an expensive machine, if memory serves. It wasn't like $149, $159 bucks, yeah. however much the Apple TV was, $99, whatever
it
started at.
I think it was like two or three, but I could absolutely be misremembering.
You're honestly probably right about that. I'm probably confusing the price with some of the prices of some of the Mac Minis. My glasses are over there,
database.
And I can't even. No, here's the thing, though. So people bought that, right? Steve Jobs sat up on stage. He talked about ITV, how great it was going to be. It was still pretty pricey. It didn't do that much, but people bought it. Then they came out with a new Apple TV, and there was absolutely no reason they could not have ported a lot of the functionality back to that old Apple TV. But you know what? Screw you guys, because we got this new Apple TV that we're selling.
Not the same thing, man. That's actually the opposite of the same thing. That's Apple introducing new hardware. Thank you. I accept your apology.
That's Apple introducing new hardware.
$300 by the way.
Forget it. $300? Is that all?
Yeah.
First Gosh, I should go back and get one. Because I was willing to pay $7 a minute ago in my pretend head cannon, but now look at that. I could have picked up two. And still had $100 left over for lunch.
Like, I had another thing you were just making my head explode over.
Sorry. Look, I mean, I don't even know why we're arguing about this. Here's the thing.
I'm crazy. That's why we're arguing about this.
Here's the thing. You're not wrong. It's just, I mean, and there are probably people who work inside Apple who feel the same way that you do.
Yeah, I would imagine the people that use their products.
Yeah, they were the first company to make it to $1 trillion. And, you know, their services thing is huge.
How much of this is actually, maybe that's part of why I'm so pissy, right? Hmm. You know, I stuck through Apple, right?
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I was there. Oh, by the way, I should note, I always need to note this. I own a tiny stake in Apple. It is insignificant. It has never been an influence on what I say. Clearly, I'm you know, crap talking the company right now.
I can't imagine owning Apple stock and working in Apple News.
Well, it's not appropriate, but I do it anyway.
Oh, no, I don't mean, I'm not saying shame on you. It drives me crazy now. And it's not really fair to say I have no stake in it because it's actually how I make a living. So, I mean, suddenly nobody cared about Apple, you know, then I'd be hosed.
That's different. But I bought the stock for the same reason that I started writing about Apple. That's just because I'm a fan.
Because you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I was a fan. Okay. All right, here's my last point on this particular subject.
Okay.
Apple has shown that when they introduce new models, sales go up. Mm-hmm. Jokingly call it, like, hey, Apple found one weird trick for goosing Mac sales, release new models, right? So that one weird trick for increasing Mac sales. And every time Apple does that, sales go up. So, I don't know, do that more often.
Here's the thing.
So that's the investor argument for it.
I understand. I get what you're saying, except on the earnings call, what did Apple say? They said that they missed by 5%, but the only reason they missed by 5% was because they couldn't get enough of the the processors in. They also said that nearly 50% of everybody who bought a Mac was new to it. Now, that number has changed a tiny bit. Mark Fuccio actually pointed on Twitter. He's like, don't they always say that, you know, over 50%? And they actually said almost 50% this time. So first of all, I believe that number actually does move a little bit. But second, people are still coming new to the Mac. I mean, I get what you're saying. I do. And I wish.
But you're just willing to excuse it.
It's the way, first of all, because that's how I buy hardware. I mean, how I buy hardware is, I need a new one of these things. I'm going to go get the best one of these things I can get. But I mean, but the other thing is, I guess I am willing to excuse it because they just keep doing it.
6 months ago, would you have paid money for a new Mac Mini? The 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old Mac Mini. Would you have paid money for
it? Well, I mean, this is where maybe I'm the wrong person to talk to about this. I've never had a use for the Mac Mini.
Okay. If let's say you were looking for a Mac Pro, would you have paid Apple's price for a trash can iMac?
The reason I keep talking about, you know, the general consumer is because I am the general consumer when it comes to the Mac.
You're a fantastic analyst in this space. Like, look at the bigger picture. Tell me that I'm wrong.
Well, look at the bigger picture. You're definitely wrong because the numbers you're talking about compared to the numbers I'm talking about don't even
the
add
numbers
up.
I
get what you're saying about the influencer. How much bigger could they be?
Bigger. What difference does it make? More bigger than it would cost to make them more bigger.
Okay. That's fine.
Bigger.
Okay. All right. You've changed my mind.
Excellent. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I have now won this argument and proves that my incredibly subjective opinion is somehow
you won. That's it.
By the way, you said that these topics might not
a
full segment.
Well, in fairness, we didn't actually talk about the earnings call.
Did you catch a couple more things on the earnings call? A couple things that I found really interesting. I want to know what you think about it. There was the guy who, and I forget which analyst said, so are you guys doing more services?
Yeah.
Right. Which, of course, he knows. And I this is something I pointed out, I think, on TDO. Those questions, like most of those analysts, with the exception of Tony Sakanagi, because whatever, most of them understand that Apple's not going to answer the question. What they're asking them for a couple of reasons. One, for the people that pay them, which is the people that subscribe to their daily writings, and two, to see exactly what Apple says and see what, you know, what they can get out of those tea leaves. They know they're not going to get an answer out of it. Right. But this guy asked, you know, what, and the funny thing is this guy asked that question, which everyone knows Apple isn't going to answer, or Tim wasn't going to answer, and then Tim answered it. At least I thought he did. And so my question is, Tim said, well, we don't talk about unannounced products.
Right.
But I will say that we're always working on something.
Yes. I thought he said we're always looking for something new, or always working on something new, or something along those lines. But yeah,
what I had was, we're always working on something, but I could have misquoted it.
Well,
we're always working on something. And my question is, I took that as a, you know, duh, we're only going to be, we're only talking about the stuff we have out now, dude. But yeah, don't worry. Yeah. We've got more stuff that we're working on in the services space.
Yeah. So what's your question?
My question is that a reasonable interpretation, or was Tim's answer actually a more broader thing that we're always working on new stuff and it didn't necessarily have anything to do with services? Did it hit you at the time? And if so, what did you think about
it? Well, I mean, it seemed like a bit of a silly question because he wasn't going to answer it. You're right.
But he did.
Well, but I mean, of course they're working on other services. They're not hanging everything on the four that they announced last quarter or last at the March event. Am I missing your question?
Well, I think it would be easy for one to start saying, this is probably Apple's full portfolio of subscription services. Games,
if that one were high, I would say you're absolutely correct. All the stuff that they're talking about in health, I mean, it's not necessarily going to be services that you and I are going to be able to subscribe to, but all the stuff that they're talking about and working on in health, I mean, that is an area, like one of them, maybe it was Tim Cook who said that's going to end up being the most important thing that Apple ends up doing, the mark that Apple ends up making.
Yep.
I was talking to somebody, a venture capitalist person, about a year ago. And it was funny because we were out drinking. and she was like, you know, she had a head of steam going because she also had a couple of cocktails. And I was like, you know, I had been fairly timid with her to this point. And I was like, you know, I've had just enough to drink. I'm going to fight you. Her feeling was that Virgin and Amazon and Elon Musk were the ones who were doing important things. What do those three have in common, Brian?
Amazon, Tesla, and who else?
Virgin.
Oh, they're all doing space.
They're all going to space. And she thought her position was that Apple is just sitting on its money. That Apple is just sitting on its money. It's just hoarding it like a dragon. It's just sitting there. It's not doing anything for the good of people. And I was like, wow, you are totally missing health.
And I agree with you. She was able to hear that.
Health is like, there are going to be services there that you and I aren't necessarily going to be able to subscribe to, but they're actually, not only are they going to be things that are going to make money for Apple, but they're also going to be incredibly important. I think they could actually be really important to all of us. And this was something I talked about on some show that I did years ago. I can't remember what, but I had a family member who had been to the hospital and he got to the hospital. It was kind of bad because he got worse. And for a couple of days, he got worse and nobody really knew what had happened. And then he started to turn a corner and that was great. And we talked to the doctor and it turns out he had been to the hospital about a month before and they had accessed his old records, or 2 months before. They had accessed his old records and prescribed medicine based on his old records. But the problem was his medication had changed since the last time he was there.
Wow.
Yeah. And so if he had been able to walk in, hand them his device that he's keeping track of because he's taking it to all the different doctors and they're updating all the stuff, right? he actually would not, he would have done better when he was in the hospital. He came out of the hospital. He was okay for a while. He's no longer with us, whatever. I mean, this is an important thing that they're doing. So, I mean, part of the problem, and this may go back to what we were talking about Wall Street earlier. They can see the iPhone. They can understand the iPhone. They see some other phone that's like, oh, but look at that Samsung thing. It has writing on the side of it. That's much cooler than Apple. Apple obviously is not innovating anymore. Apple can't innovate. You know, they're dead, whatever. Wall Street can see Apple TV Plus, and then of course they compare it to Hulu, they compare it to Netflix, they compare it to Disney, and they say, well, it's going to suck, obviously, as if this is the only thing Apple has going. And they can see News Plus, they can see all of these things. There are all these other services that you and I may never actually know, well, you and I will, but that the average consumer wouldn't necessarily know the name of, right? But yes, there's still a tremendous amount of stuff they could do.
I agree with you on all this. This is where I become an Apple fanboy again, because I believe in the stuff that Apple is working on that we don't know anything about. Right? I believe in the car.
Okay.
I don't know if they're actually going to ship it, but right. I believe that the thing that they're working on, I believe that do you remember Tim saying there are three interesting things happening in the automobile industry? He said autonomous vehicles, electric vehicles, and ride sharing. And we think that being at the intersection of those three things is an interesting place. Right?
Okay.
So yeah. I believe that we will someday have a fleet of Apple-owned cars just like Tesla is working on and just like Uber wants to work on and the other companies want to work on. I believe that's the future of automobiles. And and I think that Apple's going to play a role there. And I absolutely believe that Apple is going to play a huge role in the medical industry. And I think that these are super important and big things. It's not commercializing space, to be sure.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of important. And it's the kind of important that actually makes sense for Apple to do. Because Apple is not Elon Musk is a visionary. But he's not a visionary who wants to work on the kinds of things that Apple wants to work on.
Right.
And Bezos is a visionary. And he also is not the kind of visionary. He doesn't want to work on the kind of things that Apple is so good at. So I am firmly in your camp. I think that Apple is going to play a huge role in the medical industry. And that in ways that we do not comprehend right now because we just can't see it.
Right. And then, you know, maybe there'll be something else that we can subscribe to at some point as well. But yes, then we're going to talk about that this week anyway.
That's true. Actually, that's coming up, isn't it?
What?
Did Apple already talk about that? Was that today? Was that Wednesday?
What are you talking about?
Did Tim Cook, wasn't Tim Cook talk about something else?
Not as far as I know. No, I said they weren't going to talk about that this week anyway. I don't know what you're referring to.
Maybe I'm high. I mean, I've never done drugs in my life, but at least recreationally. But it's possible that I am actually high. All right, we have just a few minutes.
Yes.
And I really want to give you room to rant about this because you're really cranky about AT&T's quote-unquote 5GE.
I am.
Tell me.
It's a lie. It's a lie. So, and this is something that I've been talking about a bit on macOS Academy. When it comes up as a news story, obviously it's not the kind of show where I can be like, and another thing. But I did kind of get that way on a couple of these stories. So for people who don't know, AT&T has theoretically upgraded some of their 4G networks. And rather than calling it 4G plus or 4G.5 or, you know, anything like that, they decided the thing to call it would be 5GE. Which is 5G evolution. And I guess the idea that they're trying to sell is that they are evolving from a 4G company to a 5G company. And, you know, that's great if you want to put that on a prospectus. That's great if you want to put it on a website. The problem is when you look down at your iPhone, if you're in a major metro, one of the major metros where they've actually had this whole thing done, it says 5G, and then there's a very small E next to it. And that's misleading. Because, to the point that I have a friend who stays fairly current with Apple stuff, who looked down and he was like, wow, it says my phone has 5G. I'm like, well, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think AT&T seems to think that they can actually hoodwink everybody.
Well, no, they say they're not trying to hoodwink anybody, Brian.
Yeah, they say that.
That's no.
They're lying.
They said, Well, they said.
Oh, okay.
So it must be.
Yes, of course.
It must be true. So then, of course, Sprint sued AT&T for their deceptive, practice of putting this, 5GE thing on there. And then all of a sudden that went away. And everybody sort of assumes that it's because AT&T paid Sprint money to do that. Now, I mean, it's not like I really thought, as I said on macOS 10, it's not like I really thought Sprint was out there fighting for me. But if they're going to say they're out there fighting for me, and then they're suddenly going to go away, they really should share some of that money with me, or they should start, really advertising about why what AT&T is doing is absolutely wrong. So, okay, fine, that happened. And it's the whole thing seems ugly and terrible and just, crappy. But hang on a second, because I got to find, because I know I read it to you earlier.
You did. Before the show.
I seem to have lost it. Yeah. AT&T basically is saying now that nobody cares, and they're doing it in a way that really annoys me. They're saying it's only pundits and press that care about that, and they're doing the thing that people do, where they say they put two things next to each other and make it seem like those two things are related, even though they're not related. Yeah. So AT&T put up this page all about, all the things that they did about their 4G improvements, right? And after talking about, I'll actually read you the script. After talking about the money and the spectrum and the resulting increased speeds, the company says, our competitors don't like these facts, of course, being the amount of money they paid. Some pundits and reporters aren't fans of the name either, but we believe the performance of our network speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does, but not in the way that AT&T wants wants to pretend that it does.
Well, I mean, even more than that, though, what the pundits and press are taking issue with is the fact that AT&T is misleading consumers. And for AT&T to turn to consumers and go, the press, am I right?
Right.
This is a bad time to be doing that.
Yeah, it's a philosophically
Anytime
offensive
Anytime is a bad time to be doing
approach.
That. Yeah. Anytime's a bad time to be doing that, I think, but it struck me as horrible.
Well, here's the thing, though, Ken. Yeah. This is going to come to bite them in the butt when real 5G does actually arrive, and their network stinks.
Right, I talked about that as well. So here's the thing. They're putting this thing on people's phones, indicating them that they have 5G. But when real 5G comes, Randall Stephenson has said he can't imagine offering 5G without some sort of tiered something or other. So first of all, when real 5G comes, when they drop that little E off there, they're going to be like, oh, you want 5G? It's going to cost you more money. People are going to say, well, it hasn't cost me more money to have 5G before. And they're like, well, no, you didn't actually have 5G. By the way, do you want the fastest 5G? Because it turns out that's going to cost you even more than just the regular 5G. Even though you've thought this whole time that you had 5G. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I jokingly on macOS 10, I think what did I say, like 4G plus, 4G max, 4.5G. I can't remember, but I came up with two other things that took me about 30 seconds to come up with, where if they really wanted to say we have 4G, but it's better than the 4G that we had, they could have done them. And they all would have fit right up there in their little corner there where they're putting 5GE. It's just a lie.
It is just a lie. It is just
and
a lie. It is morally and philosophically bankrupt.
It's repugnant.
It is repugnant. I agree.
Let's come up with more. It's icky.
But all of the men, like Verizon is like one of the ickiest corporations on the planet. They're just particularly vile. By the way, next week my sponsor will be Verizon. I'm kidding.
AT&T, no
that's
doubt.
That's not happening either. I mean, we were joking. You were joking.
Yeah.
Before the show.
Yeah.
That, T-Mobile still has that cool factor.
Sure.
And, that rebel bad boy. I think you call them bad boys.
Well, John Ledger's a rock star right now.
Yeah.
It's funny because if you go and find old pictures of John Ledger, he looks a lot like the CEO of a company. And he may well look like the CEO of a company again at some point, but right now he's like a rock star. He's like a bad boy.
Right.
And, but more to the point, I mean, it's not AT&T. that's really where I am.
I like T-Mobile.
Go ahead.
Well, the problem with T-Mobile is that their network isn't as big or reliable.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, probably. See, if I left my house, I might worry about that. Yeah, if I went any place or did anything, I might care. But as long as it works right here, I'll be fine.
So I've got.
I mean, I don't know that I'm. I don't know that I'm actually going to switch, but I'm really thinking about switching. I bought an unlocked iPhone specifically because AT&T has annoyed me a few times. But now, see, before they just annoyed me because they were the phone company. Sort of like how everybody hates their cable company, not because their cable company is bad, but it's because they're cable company. And it's the one thing they don't like, right?
Well, and their cable company is also probably bad. There's no competition.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
oh,
by the way,
AT&T? Oh, yes.
Ajit Pai, I'm looking at you.
What?
Ajit Pai, I'm looking at you. There's no competition in the cable industry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, wow.
So I've got an AT&T iPhone and a T-Mobile iPad. And in my home at the moment, I do have three bars on my T-Mobile device. And I do have 5G. I've got one bar of 5GE on my iPhone. Yeah. And this is Silicon Valley, too. It always baffles me how often I have problems with AT&T. And yet I don't switch. Maybe I should.
Well, honestly, just on a philosophical point of view, or just on the, I don't really like, really what I don't like is the fact that they're saying, you don't really care about the truth. It's only other people that care about the truth.
Yeah,
it's
only the press. It's only the press. Pundits. LOL at the press for you don't for care pretending. About.
Right. And so, yeah, that's just sort of makes me want to quit, which I'm sure would, you know, cripple AT&T. not having my however much a month.
Well,
but,
I would call you an influencer. You start bad. Yeah. You start bad talking them enough. I'm sure that you could lose them some customers.
Pretty sure that's absolutely true.
All right. Well, I you get no disagreement with me on this. I don't really know that I have a lot to add other than the state of the American wireless market is pretty craptacular in general. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of that is the size of the country and the relative lack of population density. And also then there's always the issue of people not wanting towers in their backyard.
Right.
And microwave dishes in their backyard. And that affects areas where you do have the population density to support the infrastructure for better equipment and services. This particular thing that AT&T has done is pretty bad. I stack it. I would actually still call AT&T a less grimy corporation than Verizon. And I get what you're saying about. Yeah, but the problem with T-Mobile is at some point they're going to be bought or become the bad guy too. It's just inevitable. At some point, John Ledger might move on.
Yeah, you know, probably. That's the problem. I've been with AT&T since the first iPhone. So I've been with AT&T since 2007. So mm-hmm. I kind of hate to change just because I hate change. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what they're doing right now just strikes me as even more repugnant than just standard corporate fare.
I'm not going to put any argument up against that because you're right. It's pretty bad. This is bad. 5G. It's just nonsense. And they're gonna get held to task for this. It's one way or another. It's gonna end up biting them in the butt.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it might be the same sort of thing though that we were talking about earlier. I mean, you know, the number of people who don't know or don't care, the number of people who are walking around happy because they suddenly have a 5G phone they didn't know about.
That's a fair point, man.
I don't know.
That's a fair point. All right. Well, here's what we do right about this time every show.
Go for it.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week. But I very much want to thank you for joining me, Ken. I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll come back.
I appreciate it. And yes, I would love to. It's a tremendous amount of fun. I can't believe it's already been an hour.
It's already been an hour, and you're about to do another show, too.
I know, because I'm the hardest working man in podcast business.
You are.
It's not true.
On that sad note, this is what we do now.